Put your flags up in the sky. Juggling the world. And when I'm side to side. Show the world where you're from. Show where you're from.
We are one, baby.
Show the world we are one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
Sporty World Cup greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to a special 30-minute World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Desert Foxes of Algeria, who kick sand in the faces of many World Cup analysts by qualifying for the knockout stages of football's premier event for the first time. The Algerians drew 1-1 with Russia and Curitiba, Brazil, a result that gave the North Africans enough points to reach the round of 16. The Desert Foxes finished second in Group H behind Belgium, and the Algerians will next play Germany on Monday in Porto Alegre, Brazil. The Desert Foxes of Algeria join the African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria in the World Cup second round. It marks the first time two African teams have advanced to the knockout stages at the same World Cup. When the final whistle sounded on Thursday, Algerian players and the team's Bosnian head coach Vahid Halihadzic joined together in mass celebrations. And Algerian fans were also in a joyous mood. Let's listen in now to some of the happy Algerian fans outside the World Cup stadium in Curitiba.
I wasn't expected. We're so happy. We're so pleased. This is the first time we go to the knockout stage. Unbelievable. They played so well. First half, we were a bit timid. Like, we were a bit scared. We didn't go to the game, like, straight away. But second half, we went for it. We had nothing to lose. And we're so pleased with the players. And we're so, so, so happy.
Psychological speaking, now we're the best. Now I think we're going to do something with Germany. Maybe we're going to beat them. We're going to beat again. Let's talk.
There is a lot of energy for the next step, I think. A lot of energy. And we have to thank Coach Vahid. I didn't think he did a good job, a great job, a very good job.
1, 2, 3!
You've been listening to happy Algerian football fans celebrating their team's first ever berth in the World Cup's round of 16 in Curitiba, Brazil. As I mentioned, the Desert Foxes will next face three-time world champion Germany on Monday. Also Monday, the Super Eagles of Nigeria will play France, the 1998 World Cup champion, in the Brazilian capital, Brasilia. Let's take a look now at the other matchups in the next round in Brazil. Saturday will definitely have a South American flavor. All four teams in action hail from that continent. Brazil, bidding for a record-extending sixth world title, will host Chile in Belo Horizonte. And that will be followed by a match between Colombia and Uruguay in Rio de Janeiro. Remember, VOA World Cup fans, Uruguay will be without star striker Luis Suarez, who received a four-month ban from football by FIFA for biting Italian defender Giorgio Chiellini during a World Cup match. On Sunday, Mexico will meet the Netherlands in Fortaleza, Brazil, and that will be followed by a match between Greece and Costa Rica in the northeastern coastal city of Recife. The Greeks and the Costa Ricans, like the Algerians, are surprise teams at this World Cup. The Greeks, who eliminated Ivory Coast, are in the round of 16 for the first time. And the Costa Ricans were rated one of the biggest underdogs before the tournament kicked off. After the Nigeria-France and Algeria-Germany matches on Monday, there will be two more games on Tuesday. Lionel Messi and two-time world champion Argentina will play Switzerland in Sao Paulo. And then Belgium will go against the USA in Salvador, Brazil. Joining us once again from Johannesburg with our latest African football quiz question, World Cup related, is David Legg.
Who was the most successful coach of an African team at all the World Cups? Now, I stress an African team. So in other words, it can be a foreign coach or it can be an African coach. Now, what's very important is how you decide who has been the most successful. And what you do, Sonny, is you base it on percentage success. And what you do is you look at the record of each coach. Now, for example, I'm going to pick out one coach, Vidinic. He coached Morocco in 1970, and he coached what was then called Zaire in 1974. So he coached at two consecutive World Cups with different countries. Now, his record, Sonny, and he's obviously not the winner, that's why I can mention him, is 6 matches played, 1 draw and 5 defeats. And unfortunately, the reason he saw his team score only 2 goals but concede 20 is, of course, Zaire were hammered 9-0 at the 1974 World Cup by the then Yugoslavia. So in other words, Sonny, he's played 6 matches. Now, in each match, you've got 3 points available for a win. So that's a total of 18 points. And he got 1 draw, so he only got 1 point. So what you do is you get that 1, the 1 point, you divide it by 18, which is the potential total, and then you multiply by 100. And that's how you work out your percentage success. Because, Sonny, it's the only fair way to do it, because like you take a coach like Henri Michel of France. He's coached at 9 matches at the World Cup, and then other coaches have only coached at, say, 3. So I think this is a very fair system. So what we want to know is who has been the most successful coach of an African team at the World Cups, and that's going, Sonny, from 1934 to 2010. And I'm sure you're going to have a very good prize or prizes for the winners, because they're going to sweat a bit on this one, Sonny.
Yes, David, we will have some of those delightful VOA goodies for the winners. Why don't we set a deadline, David, of July 13th, which is when the World Cup final will be played in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. David and I will now give our addresses where you can send your entries. And once again, we have a July 13th deadline for our latest African football quiz question. VOA!
It's David.Legg, and Legg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France-Presse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's David.Legg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
You can send me email at sonny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
This is the Voice of America, Washington. D.C.
I enjoyed a sporty World Cup chat on the Voice of America's Reporters Roundtable radio program, which is hosted by my colleague Douglas the Mighty Mpuga. Also participating was our friend in Lagos, our Nightline Africa sportsman Segun Dot on the spot, Adeyemi, And this evening, we'll excerpt a portion of our conversation. Here's Douglas.
First of all, Sunny, you were in South Africa 4 years ago. Comparison at this point in time, the standards of the soccer so far played.
I think overall, Douglas, we've seen a higher standard of play in Brazil, especially in terms of the goal scoring. I think we're seeing a lot more goals being scored in Brazil, some spectacular goals.
Yes.
We can talk about them, but I don't remember the number of goals in South Africa being scored at such a rate. And maybe Segun can address that, what he thinks. But I think in terms of attacking football, we're seeing better football in Brazil.
I see, Segun, you take a flair, brilliance, goal scoring comparison.
Yes, Sonny is right in terms of attacking football, which has resulted in more goals in the World Cup in Brazil.
But still talking about Africa, Segun, give us feedback from Nigeria there. Nigeria eventually made it, and many people had high hopes in other teams like Cote d'Ivoire, like Cameroon. But Nigeria were the first to go to the round of 16.
Well, the Nigerian players celebrated since they have actually beaten Argentina in the last Group F match. And Nigeria lost 3-2 to Argentina in that match. However, the celebrations here belied that result. You will think that Nigeria actually won the match. Why? Because this is the first time in 16 years, that is dating back to 1998 World Cup in France, that Nigeria is making it through to the second round. And so it's a big deal here. But there was a lot of celebrations here. People were quite delighted that the team, you know, after drawing with Iran, I mean, that was not the kind of result that Nigerians wanted. Nigerians had hoped that Nigeria would have, the Super Eagles would have beaten Iran with at least 3-0.
That's right.
Then it was a goalless draw, and nobody was quite happy with that. Then the team rebounded to beat Bosnia, and then there was all the permutation about if you beat this team, you beat that one, you qualify. Well, Bosnia beat Iran, and Nigeria lost to Argentina. They still advanced to the second round, and people here are quite delighted. Unfortunately, the celebrations have been tempered by the blast that occurred in Abuja, the capital city, on Wednesday, in which 21 people died. That actually pushed the World Cup off the headlines in the newspapers.
I see.
And tempered the celebration.
Segun, what's been the reaction in Nigeria to the performance by the Argentine star Lionel Messi against the Super Eagles? He had a brace to lead Argentina to that 3-2 victory. Vincent Enyema has been very solid in front of the nets for the Super Eagles, and yet I don't know that any goalkeeper could have stopped Messi on Wednesday. Segun, your thoughts on Messi?
I think Messi has been a thorn in our flesh. And he's, when he turned on the magic on Wednesday, when Messi turned on his magic, it made all the difference. Even for a goalkeeper like Yama, who has been simply outstanding and up to that point had not considered any goal. And then Messi came from nowhere and then everything changed. Unfortunately, the Super Eagles didn't seem to have any answer to Messi. And like Coach Steven Keshi said, the Super Eagles seem to give too much respect to Argentina. And I don't know whether it is history that has caused that, because dating back to Nigeria's appearance at the first appearance at the World Cup in 1994 up to this moment, every time the Super Eagles have met Argentina, Argentina had won.
Yes.
And perhaps that has given them this kind of fright, that when you are playing Argentina, it's such a big team. And then, you know, otherwise, with a break from Ahmed Musa and just with one more goal, it would have been a draw. But then the team just simply recoiled back to its shell.
I see.
And allowed Argentina to run away with victory.
Okay,
I think Messi made all the difference, if you ask me.
I see. Let's go back a little bit to the African teams. Surely, Sunny and Segun, African teams that are participating have the talent. They have the brilliant players who play in the top league soccer in Europe and elsewhere. But why has the performance not been better than it ought to be? Is it lack of conditioning? Is it lack of discipline? Is it lack of preparation? Let me begin with Segun there over there.
Yes, Douglas, thank you very much for bringing this point up. I've been thinking about this myself. As far back as 1986, at the World Cup in Mexico, Morocco reached the second round of the World Cup. And then in 1990, Cameroon became the first African country to get to the quarterfinals. And almost, how many years later, if my mathematics is correct, about 18 years later, that's dating back to 1990 World Cup, or 28 years later, after the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, we are here trying to celebrate African nations getting to the second round, not even the quarterfinals now, trying to see how many African nations can make it to the second round. And that is a reason for celebration. Something is definitely wrong. The performance has gone down. And what is it? It is a thing that a lot of African football officials will have to debate in the years to come. But I will tell you that, like you said, there are a lot of talents right here in Africa who are playing locally and who are playing in the foreign leagues. So what I think we'll probably have to do, if you ask me, will be that the local league, the African league, the standard is exceptionally low. They will have to revive the league and make sure that they are up to standard. That is number one. Then number two, which is an issue that is very important here, is that the issue of discipline among African players. African players are among the best in the world. They play in the top league. But when they come to play for national team, something happens and they just show a different side of themselves, which we have seen at this World Cup. Whether it's Alex Song playing for Cameroon at this World Cup, elbowing a player who was not even with the ball, or Asue Kotu and Mukanju quarreling off the ball for no just reason. And now two players from Ghana have been asked to leave the camp. Their World Cup is over. Why? Because of indiscipline. And so these are the issues I've been thinking about, that the issue of how to pull the talent in Africa, the issue of how to ensure discipline among the players. And I don't have all the answers. And this is an issue that everybody will have to chip in.
Segun brought up that infamous play involving Alex Song for Cameroon in the match against Croatia. Really stands out, Douglas, as a real sign of Cameroon's lack of team spirit, lack of team unity. Then you had two players that Segun mentioned headbutting each other. And, you know, in terms of Africa's participation in Brazil, Cameroon has to rate as the biggest disappointment. And I've had friends tell me they're the biggest embarrassment
the
for
worst
Africa.
The worst African team.
At this World Cup. I mean, if we look at their performance strictly in terms of wins and losses, Douglas, they lost all three of their matches in Brazil. 4 years ago, they lost all three of their matches in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's hope the federations have something to... Segun mentioned the camp, the turmoil in the Ghanaian camp. Two senior players of the Ghanaian team misbehaving and being sent out of camp. What does that show to the upcoming stars, players on the African continent, Stanley?
You know, one of the scenarios and the two players who were suspended, Sule Muntari and Kevin Prince-Boateng, just prior to the match against Portugal, apparently Boateng, according to reports, clashed verbally with James Kwesi Appiah, the head coach of Ghana. I don't know what he said exactly. But it was strong enough words that they decided to suspend him. I wonder if he would have said the same thing, Douglas, if a European coach was in charge of Ghana. And on that note, I want to give a shout out for Stephen Keshi of Nigeria. He is the first African coach to take an African team into the second round at a World Cup. Ghana also led by an African coach. At a fundamental level, there's some disrespect going on there when you talk to your head coach like that.
Yeah. Segun, briefly, before I go for a short break, the coaching staff, why do African teams tend to respect coaches coming from elsewhere? They don't respect African coaches. Not even their federation don't give them enough support or pay them well enough.
I really don't understand that. I think it's because these guys have gone to play professionally in big clubs abroad. And, of course, they've gotten fame and fortune and everything. And so they come back to Africa and look down on their coaches and every other fellow, thinking they are such big stars on the world stage. There is no other reason why. Sonny made a very important point, you know, that if there had been a European coach, would Boateng, would he have insulted him the way he did to Kwesi Appiah? The answer is no. And so we'll get back to this when you come back from the break. It means that the football associations in Africa will have to do exactly what Ghana Football Association did.
Now let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of what else? The ongoing World Cup, Brazil 2014.
Put your flags up in the sky. Up in the sky. And when I'm sad,
yes, welcome back. Our topic tonight is Brazil 2014, the World Cup. Our panelists are my colleagues, Sunny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports, and Segun on the Dota DMA, VOA's Nightline Africa sports correspondent in Lagos. And I'm Douglas Impoga. We're talking about the issue of discipline on the African players. I want to give you a chance to have a final thought. Then we move on to some unruly world-class stars, people like Suarez, who is now known for, as most part joking, as the biggest biter in the world. So take it away, Jusani first.
Yeah, I was saddened that Ghana's team was caught up in this turmoil ahead of such a crucial match. And yet I was in France in 98, just prior to Nigeria playing Denmark in the round of 16. And the Nigerian team was caught up in turmoil. They were arguing over bonuses. And they ended up losing to Denmark 4-1. You know, Segun talks about discipline. I think you have to have overall team discipline already in place in terms of bonuses, payments, respective coaches, everything when it comes time for the World Cup. If you're like Cameroon and you're holding a country and a federation ransom before you even step on the plane for Brazil, it's not good.
It's not good. Segun?
I was going to say that I want to give a shout-out to GFA, the Ghana Football Association. The way it has handled the issue of Boateng and Muntari, it's quite impressive. GFA realized that it had to discipline these players and get them out of the World Cup so that Ghana can hold its head high. I think this is good. Compare this to what happened in Cameroon after Alexon bagged that red card and Asuel Kutu and Mukanju engage in their headbutting, the Cameroon Football Association said they will investigate this matter and then discipline them when they come back. When they said all these players should have been asked to leave camp, if only to make a point that African football associations, African teams would not condone indiscipline by any player, no matter his status. I just want to make that a difference.
The stars, the top World Cup stars like Suarez biting.
In terms of Suarez's penalty, which was announced on Thursday, 4-month ban, and it also covers 9 international matches, so he won't play on Saturday in Uruguay's match in the round of 16. I actually thought he might get a longer ban, Douglas, seeing how he has a history of these biting incidents. This was his third time. I mean, some people call him, the vampire Suarez and other not-so-nice nicknames.
Yeah.
And I know he's not really held in high esteem in Africa.
Not anymore. The round of 16 is going to be a tough one, too.
I would love to hear Segun's thoughts on Nigeria's next opponent, Douglas, which will be the French. I like Nigeria's chances in that match. What do you think, Segun?
Sonny, thank you very much for that positive the general feeling right here in Lagos and in Nigeria is that these Super Eagles can actually beat the French team. That is the general feeling. They have watched the French players play. They believe that the Super Eagles, they have what it takes to beat this French team. Because the team, after starting off on a wobbly note seemed to have found its rhythm, going by what happened against Argentina on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And with what most fans saw the team, you know, the kind of style and the kind of seriousness they displayed Wednesday, I think many believe that Nigeria has a very good chance against the French team and advance to the quarterfinals for the very first time in the history of his participation in the FIFA World Cup.
Yes, Sani, Algeria is still in there.
The Desert Foxes from Algeria have definitely been one of Africa's nice stories at this World Cup. They will be joining the Super Eagles of Nigeria in the round of 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go Desert Foxes. I know they're led by Bosnian coach Hali Hadzic, and he really seems to have that team fired up. And the Desert Foxes will go against Germany on Monday in Porto Alegre, Brazil. And that conversation among Segun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi and Douglas the Mighty Mpuga and yours truly was part of the Voice of America's Reporters Roundtable program. Thank you, Douglas, and thank you, Segun. Let's take a break from the World Cup talk. The National Basketball Association held its annual draft of collegiate and international players on Thursday night in Brooklyn, New York. VOA's Daniel Brown tells us who were the top picks.
It was an outstanding night for all the international players. There were 8 players drafted in the first round. With the first pick in the draft, Andrew Wiggins from Canada, who played for Kansas for 1 year, was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and his thoughts on being the first pick.
They're just crazy, man. A thousand thoughts is going through my head right now. You know, it's a dream come true. You know, I've been dreaming of this moment from when I was a little kid. You know, and my dream was just to make the NBA. Now, going to high school and college, the opportunity and possibility of going number one came into talk, and now I accomplished that. So it's just crazy feeling right now. I don't even know how to feel. It doesn't even feel real right now.
With the second pick in the NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Jabari Parker, who only spent 1 year at Duke University and left for the NBA. Here are his thoughts on being selected by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, they're a young team. I feel like I can contribute right off the back. I feel like I'm going to be able to grow with that organization, and I'm trying to be a throwback player, you know, only stick with one team. And, you know, this might bite me in the butt from years from now, but right now I just want to stick with whoever's rolling with me.
One of the night's big surprises was the number 4 pick in the draft by Utah Jazz selecting Dante Exum, who is from Australia. His dad played for the University of North Carolina back when Michael Jordan was playing. And here is his thoughts.
It's an unbelievable experience. Words can't explain. It's just great. And I had a chance to talk to the coach and how he's going to use me and how I fit into the system. So I can't wait to get to Utah tomorrow and start getting to work.
That was Dante Exum with the 4th pick in the NBA draft. I'm VOA's Daniel Brown, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life. Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
One more NBA draft note. The Philadelphia 76ers selected Cameroonian big man Joel Embiid with the number 3 pick. Embiid was a teammate of Andrew Wiggins, the number 1 pick at the University of Kansas. Joel Embiid recently broke a bone in his foot, so the 76ers are hoping he gets healthy and gets out there on the basketball court. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his...
I'm talking to you.
talking about.